Carolina Hurricanes are in action tonight, right? Trip Tracy, Bally Sports, who's actually going to be on the radio today, just radio, with Shane Willis, as Mike Maniscalco is dealing with a COVID protocol issue right now. Trip, the game is happening tonight, right? There's no sudden postponements. We're good?
Hey, Joe. I sure hope so, because I literally just pulled into my parking spot in the building.
Okay.
So, yes, it will be happening here in about 2.5 hours.
You and Shane tonight on the radio call. That's, you can get weird with it. Let's go. Let's have some fun.
I can tell you this, Joe. First of all, wishing my partner Mike Maniscalco a speedy recovery. I know he's asymptomatic, so that's a terrific sign. In 23 years, the game sevens and everything, I've never been nervous for a broadcast once, not even once. Now, I've got a little bit of butterfly action today just because the play-by-play seat is such a different animal. I mean, it's the other end of the jungle. But it's going to be a ton of fun. We're going to try to have a ball with it. You know, when Shane and I were playing in the American Hockey League in, the 97-98 season in New Haven, before then he made the jump to the NHL, and I got the opportunity of a lifetime in 98. Who would have ever thought that he and I would be a broadcast tandem on radio for a big divisional game? So it's going to be a hoot. Shane and I are the dearest of friends. He has such a world-class sense of humor, and on top of how he sees the game. So hopefully the fans will enjoy it.
Trip Tracy, Bally Sports, Carolina Hurricanes, joining us here on the OG on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. It's Joe Ovius. I'm Joe Giglio. Trip, do you have a goal call that you've been practicing, or is this going to be complete impromptu off the cuff?
Well, I mean, again, Joe, it's such a different seat. But the only teaching point going all the way back to Greensboro, is I remember my first year broadcasting would drive out the day of the game for the morning skate, and then would always go to lunch with Chuck Hayden and John Forslund at Jack Astor's, and then hang around the building all day. So yeah, you were killing all sorts of time. And I remember with the homework I'd do, I think Dennis Miller was maybe doing Monday Night Football at the time, and you could see that as much of a comedic genius as he was, that there were lines that came up during the course of a broadcast that he thought about during the day.
Yeah.
And I did that early on too, and I learned very, very quickly that does not play. So I can earnestly and truly tell you I don't have a clue what I'm going to say, including hopefully what the heck my goal will be, ideally with a barrage of Hurricanes goals tonight that I can improve from one to the next.
It's Trip Tracy joining us. Bally Sports, Carolina Hurricanes on the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Ovius. All right, so the fascination for tonight's game, other than the fact that it's happening and it's been a weird herky-jerky start-stop for the Canes here, is Jack LaFontaine, who got his entry-level contract. He was called up. Is he going to play tonight?
No, he's my understanding is he will back up.
Okay.
Freddie Anderson will play. But I think it's really a very fine job done by the Hurricanes organization to be able to get him signed, and what an opportunity for a couple of different reasons, guys. That the Hurricanes tried to lure him out of school after he won the Mike Richter Award, the College Goalie of the Year at Minnesota, completing his junior season last year, and he elected to go back to school, which the Canes supported. And if you march several months from now with that loophole that I hope changes in the CBA, to be honest, that like an Adam Fox, if the Hurricanes hadn't traded him and he had played his senior year, eventually good chance LaFontaine would end up being an unrestricted free agent. And that would have been a bitter pill to swallow with the type of prospect that he is. So with not just goaltenders hurt at the NHL level, guys, but in the American Hockey League level, it was the right time to make a pitch. Jack was playing a couple of games at Michigan State last weekend. Jason Mazzotti, my one-time roommate, my first NHL training camp, did a heck of a job building a relationship as the goaltending development coach in the organization. And the Hurricanes were able to sign Jack, and Jack recognized that there's a heck of an opportunity here. And he'll back up tonight. I don't know what's going to happen. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a game here in the near future. He is a player, in my view, that has tremendous maturity, self-belief that you have to have. I know that because I knew my goaltending career was cooked when I had to admit to myself I didn't have that. But he has humility simultaneously. So he has some tremendous tools. Can't wait to watch him. It just, you know, if everything goes according to plan, it won't be tonight.
Yeah, he's already 24 years old. We should probably point that out. But you're going to have to tell this story a lot, Tripp, so you might as well get the practice now. Jack LaFontaine is not related to Pat LaFontaine, but he does have a famous hockey NHL relative, uncle, right?
Who?
This is from the Mississauga.com from 2016. Brian Bradley, who played 651 career games with the Flames, Canucks, and Maple Leafs, is his uncle.
Okay, so I did not know that.
I'm helping you.
He's from the Toronto area, and you know, he went to Michigan, and then the atypical route, felt his game needed some seasoning, so went out to the British Columbia junior tier two, where you maintain your college eligibility, in Penticton, where it's produced a lot of future NHL players. But Brian Bradley, that's a name. I left this out. I might as well. Brian Bradley was the guy, because he's worked in the Tampa organization. What a fine play career he had. I believe his son was at Colorado College at the same time as a guy named Jacob Slavin. And Bradley, I'm not sure on the record, but I know he didn't think that Slavin could play.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So,
interesting.
So when I think of Brian, that's what I think of. that's a heck of a tie. But no connection to Pat LaFontaine, who is from the Detroit area, right up the road from me in Waterford. But what a bright future he has. And again, to be able to get him signed and in the organization is a real feather in the Hurricanes' cap, because there was a decent chance that he had this opportunity not happen, that he could have ended up in free agency.
You can actually spend a lot of segments on this if you really want to, Tripp. Now, get straighten this out for me, though, because ACC fans will enjoy this. He played at two different Big Ten schools. He played at Michigan and Minnesota. You could do that?
That is correct. You can do that. You go to Penticton, which is the British Junior Hockey League, that is Junior A or Junior B or Junior A Tier 2. That's what I played in the Detroit area, where obviously you maintain your college eligibility, as opposed to the Western Hockey League, Junior A, the OHL, and the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. So
Tom O'Brien wasn't his coach at Michigan, I hope.
No, it wasn't. It was Mel Pearson. He had a goalie coach there who was a dear friend of mine that I used to skate with in the summers and played in the NHL, Steve Shields. So he's had some really good tutelage, whether it be Stevie Shields or like I mentioned, Jason Muzzotti recently in the Hurricanes organization.
Tripp Tracy, Bally Sports, Carolina Hurricanes, joining us here on the OG. He's actually going to be play-by-play tonight. Shane Willis will be in the analyst chair while Mike Maniscalco is in the COVID protocol. He's asymptomatic. He's doing fine. We'll close on this. And I'm not trying to put gold on the spot. It's just something that I heard when I was driving around today, when I was listening to Adam, noon to 3 here on 99.9 The Fan. He said the Canes have not been playing well as of late. And yet, I mean, when they have played, are they not like 3-0-1?
Yeah.
What's the disconnect here? Where this is my favorite thing in hockey, where you can the result is a win, and yet people don't like how you played.
Joe, I'm really happy you brought that up, because first of all, I'm going to point to three games that were the last game in Dallas of November, and then actually back that up. The two last games in November, Washington here at home, in Dallas on the road, and then coming back to play Ottawa at home. Mm. Hurricanes lost all three games in regulation. And it's a tough sell, because I pride myself as an analyst of calling the games the way that I see them. And I thought the Hurricanes had as good of a three-game segment as they had all year. And they lost They lost all three games. And,
yeah.
you know, from a credibility standpoint, that's a tough sell, but I believed in it. And let's just take the last four games. You've had all these breaks, which makes it very, very difficult. But post-Christmas, the Hurricanes, I don't think they have played very well. Yet they've taken 7 out of 8 points.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with AG from the standpoint of where their team game is. I never like to give excuses, but when you have a team that pressures guys in all three zones, that requires you to skate, but more importantly, it requires you to take away time and space cohesively as a group where you have to read and react off of one another. That's just the way that Rod Brind'Amour's teams play the game. So if it's even a hair off, it could look really off. And when you look at those four games, you know, Montreal, Columbus, who they'll play tonight. I know they came back for that historic comeback. And then the back-to-back at home last week, Calgary and Florida. Their team game was off. Yet the positive sign is that they took 7 out of 8 points. So if I'm going to say that I love their game when they lost those three consecutively in regulation, Washington, Dallas, Ottawa, just without the result, I will say I haven't loved the way they played here in the last four, but the very positive sign is they've taken 7 out of 8 points.
That's just one of those things that occasionally comes up in hockey. It's always specific to hockey for me, where you can come away from a game, even though it's a win, and still not be happy with it. But I guess that's a good problem to have if you're the Carolina Hurricanes, where you're not playing your best, but you're still getting those points. Hey, have fun tonight. We'll be listening here on 99.9 The Fan.
Joe and Joe, thanks so much for having me. And you know what that is, guys? And you and I, the three of us know what it was like when it wasn't there. That's a sign of a winning culture when you win and you still say, we need to be better. So that's a wonderful development in the current state of the union.
Trip Tracy, Bally Sports. All right, man. We will talk to you next week.